Okay, it's recording.
Alrighty. Good morning.
Good morning.
God bless you.
God bless you.
So, make sure the camera's working.
Yeah.
Don't worry.
Go.
I'm on there.
Go.
If you don't mind, I don't have a way to connect to this on my tablet, so we're just going to read from the Bible. We're just going to do it old school. Luke chapter 24. I'm sorry, man.
It's ruined me. I didn't even break it off. And I don't have to.
Yes.
My Bible is here, but not in
Well, I asked Richard, by the way, to try to connect my tablet to the screen.
Uh-huh.
And he said there is, but we haven't found one yet.
What?
Haven't found one yet.
What'd you say?
Luke chapter 24.
24, what verse?
Start with verse 1.
Mark. Luke
24. The last chapter of the book of Luke. First verse. Yes.
So,
Luke chapter 24, verse 1 says, "Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre, and they entered in, and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them, in shining garments, and as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words, and returned from the sepulchre, and told all these things unto the 11, and to all the rest." So that's just where we'll finish. And then later on we'll probably read some more of this chapter. This is one of my favorite scriptures in the Bible. Verse 8, that says, "And they remembered his words." I've always found that fascinating. And in our life, I find especially in my Christian journey, I find myself in the same position that they were in. And as you go through this whole scripture, because this chapter right here, later on we'll get to it. Later on in this chapter is the two going on the road to Emmaus. And you know, it always amazes me that, you know, here's a group of people that walk with Jesus, you know, for 3.5 years, and all the things that they had been through and all the things that they had saw. And you know, when the angels come and tell him that, Jesus told them, said, you know, destroy this temple in 3 days, I'll raise it again. And he tells them what he come to do. You know, because I come to seek and save those which were lost. And he knew, he told him, he said, I'll be turned over into the hands of sinful men, but you know, I'm going to rise again. You know, he kept telling them what he came to do over and over. And they kept seeing all the things that, you know, every time that, even when he was challenged by the Pharisees and the Sadducees, he took them back to the Scripture and said, "Search the Scriptures. Mm-hmm. Are these not the things that the prophets wrote about that I would do?" And he said, do I not do them? He said, if I don't do these things, then you can call me on them. But if I don't, then you're supposed to believe what the Scripture says. And I've come to do that. And you know, it's so amazing, is because many times in our life we see things happen. And we see, and God moves in on the scene. And you know what? We still have our own thinking. Mm-hmm. Brother Ram says in one place, he says, you know, we're supposed to purge our thinking. And one of the reasons why I wanted to get into this today was I was listening. I know Brother Joe was in the Army. And he probably tell us a lot more about it than I can. But I was listening to a young man give his testimony about being in the military and the different things that he had been through. But one thing he talked about was, you know, in basic training, the one thing that they want you to do is get away from your way of thinking. And one of the things that you have to change is the way you talk. He said the first thing you do is you don't say me, you don't say I, you don't say my, you don't say mine. You don't own nothing. They own you. And you know, the thing is, you know, and what struck me was you listening to him. Well, you know, we're supposed to be an invincible army. Well, you know what? We don't own ourselves. I'm not my own. I belong to Jesus. He purchased me. I'm all His. As the song goes. So we've been bought with a price. Well, you know, we shouldn't have our own thinking. Well, this young man was talking about, you know, the first time that they were, you know, you have to do certain things. And, you know, he come in there and the first thing he said was, my. You know, and then all of a sudden he said the drill sergeant was in his face and started screaming at him. And he kept making him say, this recruit, this recruit, this recruit. He had to keep saying that over and over and over. Why? Because he had to get away from saying, I, me, my, mine. It had to be this recruit. And, you know, one of the other things that he talked about was that when you go in, you know, everybody, it's one group. It's a platoon, a squad, a company, whatever it is. You know, there's a group of people that are together, and you all win and you all lose together. And there was one soldier. He wanted to do his own thing, and you know, he wanted to show off and try to be his own. And the first thing the drill sergeant told him, oh, you want to be an individual. You want to be an individual. And you know, there's a movie that was made many years ago, and some of you might have seen it, might have never heard of it. But it's called Full Metal Jacket. And there's a scene in there where there's one of the young men in the Marines, he gets caught with food. And you know, one of the rules about eating is you eat when they tell you to eat, and you don't eat any other time. And your food does not mix. You go where the cafeteria or wherever, and you eat, or you eat in the field. And when you get done, when they say you're done, there's no more food. You don't carry. And he gets caught in his food in his foot locker. Well, you know, the one thing that happens is the rest of the guys in the group are down there doing exercises and push-ups and everything. And the drill sergeant gives the guy that had the donut, gives him the donut and says, well, you know, they're paying for it. You eat it. And he has to stand there in front of everybody, and all the other guys are on the floor doing push-ups, and he's sitting there eating that donut. And you know, one of the things he was talking about, you know, we win and lose together. And you know, nobody's an island. Nobody's by their self. And many times we think we do this by ourselves, but really we don't. And you know, I was thinking about, you know, if we overcome, we overcome. Because it is an overcoming, it's a personal overcoming, but you know what? Brother Branham said that if we disbelieve, if we do something wrong, said we can cause the church to fail. And you know, so yeah, it is a personal overcoming, because when you go through the army or whatever you're doing, Brother Joe can tell you, you know, it's, you have to do it all by yourself. Because you know, nobody else is on the firing range when you're firing your weapon to qualify. That's you. You have to qualify. And you know, but you have to think about, you know, I'm doing this not just for myself, but I'm doing this for everybody. Everybody's included in this. And you know, and so, you know, if we look at it, it all has to come back to be a personal, but it has to be that we're doing this as a group. You know, I was riding down the road and I was thinking, you know, I could count the number of times that people's come on my heart and you just pray for somebody, and it may be a quick prayer. Sometimes somebody's on your mind the whole day. and you pray about, you pray over somebody, you don't even know what they're going through. You don't know the situation. Sometimes you find out there is a situation that they're going through. Sometimes you pray for them, and then somebody comes back and says, you know, I've been dealing with this or whatever. You know, years ago, many years ago, there was a young sister. She was on my heart, and for some reason, I just woke up, and she was on my mind. I was praying. I prayed all day long, and it was just, I just could never get rid of this feeling that I had, you know, and it was just a real burden. Well, that after I come back from work that evening, I called her on the phone and I asked her, I said, are you okay or what's going on? And she told me about some personal things that she had been going through, and she said she didn't know what to do, and she was really trying to seek God for an answer on what to do. And I was like, well, you know, I just wanted to, you know, I've been praying. And she was so amazed that God had somebody was on the other end thinking of her, that somebody was, and you know, many times we think we're so by ourselves, and you know, sometimes it's so amazing when somebody comes along and they tell you, hey, I've been praying for you. Yeah. And sometimes, you know, if we could sit down and look into this other realm and see how many times we've been prayed for by other people.
Right.
And you know, I always tell everybody that where I am today, because I had a praying grandmother. That she really kept us before God. And, you know, I thank God for that. Because it really, you know, all that I do and all that I'm able to accomplish, I always say it's because of her prayers. And if I'm a blessing to anybody, well, it goes back to her because she was one that stood behind us to bring us to this place. And you know, Brother Brown talked about, you know, all the ones that went before us, you know, paving the way. You know, we're walking the trails that they've blazed, that they've made. And you know, so you know, it's not anybody being by theirself or any, you know, you don't accomplish it all by yourself. Because lots of times you say, well, you know, when I get low, you know, there's somebody praying for me. You know, Brother Dale talks about many times where he talks about, you know, waking up in the middle of the night and praying for everybody in the church. And you know, it's amazing that because somebody is praying on your behalf and somebody is uplifting you. And you know, sometimes we think, well, we're just all by ourselves and nobody's an island. And you know, because even when you're by yourself, And you feel like you're fighting this battle all alone. Mm-hmm. But you know, there's one that said, I'll never leave you. Mm-hmm. I'll never forsake you. Mm-hmm. He said, I'll be with you even mm-hmm. in you to the end of the world. Mm-hmm. You're never alone. Mm-hmm. You never fight the battle by yourself. Mm-hmm. Many times, sometimes what happens is we want to do things and try to accomplish things and we think we can figure it out on our own. And lots of times the Lord's standing there waiting on us till we spin our wheels enough till we get aggravated and tired of what we're doing. And then He's like, would you like for me to help you?
Yeah.
It's like, you know, we'd save ourselves a lot of heartache and troubles if we just go that way to begin with. But sometimes we have this thinking that we can accomplish something. And you know, here in the scripture, you know, here these people are walking with Jesus, and Jesus walked with them all of this way, and expounding the scriptures this whole way. And you know, sometimes we don't catch because I don't think no matter what Jesus tried to tell them about the crew, you know, we don't know their thought process. This is just kind of my thinking. But you know, they've probably seen crucifixions before because it was a Roman penalty. So it's probably something they've seen before. But you know, when it's somebody that you love, it's something different. But no matter what Jesus trying to tell them what was going to take place, and maybe they just never caught the grasp of that. And you know, you're like you go through terrible things and you're in shock. And you're in this topsy-turvy world, and you're trying to figure things out. And yet, Jesus told him, said, this is going to happen to me, but I'm raised in 3 days. You know, and here's the same one that, you know, that kept telling them. And when you see this man who'd done all these great miracles, you know, there never was a funeral procession that he didn't raise the dead. He took a boy's lunch and he fed 5,000. He walked on the water. All the great miracles that this man had done, and you know what? If he could do that, then couldn't he raise from the dead? Well, that's what the Old Testament prophet said he would do. That's what was testified in the Old Testament, and then he come and testified to the same thing. And yet, here they come on the third day, which is the day that he is supposed to raise, and they go to the sepulcher with their spices and with their all of their instruments and all their spices and oils or whatever, the linen or everything that they go dead, you know, anoint the body, preparing for death. And they're so amazed that when he comes that he says, "Why seek you the?" When the angels come and say, "Why seek you the living among the dead? Why are you here? Did he not tell you that he would do these things?" And you know, there's people time. You know, I've had times in my life. You know, we pray over things and we want God to move, and then when he does, you know, we're shocked that he moved. Well, that's why if you pray for something, for God to heal you, when you do, then you're taken back that it happened. Why? Because if you, he said it in the law, he said it in the law of his word, that if you believe and ask, that he would do it. Well, it's just like, you know, just like the law of gravity. If you throw something up, it falls down. Well, if you have the faith to believe in what he said and you confess it and believe it, he's obligated to bring it to pass. Then it's not something that we have to, you know, we get worked up, you know, shocked that God healed me or God met my needs. Why? Because he said he would. See, it's our thinking that we're trying to hedge our bets sometimes. We think, well, you know, what's my second plan going to be that God's not going to meet the first one? Well, you know what? If you were all sold out on the first one, you wouldn't have to worry about trying to make a backup plan. Why? Because there isn't a backup plan with God. I would much rather have all my eggs and all my hopes in him than try to come up with something else. You know that sister that was in the message, letting off the pressure. You know, Brother Ram always talks about how she was such an older lady, but she looked so young. And he asked her, "Sister, what's your secret? You know, what is it that makes you look so young?" And she had grown children. He said, "You couldn't believe that she was that old." He's like, "Well, when I first became a Christian, it's like I knew I put all my hopes in him, and he said he'd take care of me. And said, if he can't take care of it, I certainly can't, so I'm not going to worry about it. I just ain't got nothing to worry about. Why? Because I give it all to him." And it's the same way with us, that we don't have to worry about it. There shouldn't be any worry. We shouldn't have to try to figure things out. Why? Because he's the one that's got it all figured out. We just need to rest in him. But as the women went to the sepulcher, and they found these two angels at the sepulcher, and they told them, "So why seek ye the living among the dead? He's not here." But remember what he said. It says, and they remembered his words. You know, that's the reason that we ought to keep our always stay in the Word. Always stay what the Word says. Confess the Word. Always have your mind in the Word. Because if we stay with that, then we can't, as Brother Brown said, we purge our thinking. Well, you know what? If we think what he thinks, if we think the Word, and then we purge our thoughts. We overcome our thoughts with his thoughts. We replace our thoughts with his thoughts. And it's so amazing that they go down this road, and all of a sudden it's like, "Oh yeah, he said he'd raise today." And they go there and they say, "Well, his body's not here, so he's risen from the dead because the angels have told us he's not here. He's risen from the dead." And all of a sudden, here they go back to testify that he's risen from the dead. And as they go to tell the 11 and them, as he's risen from the dead, and it says, and to all the rest, and verse 10 says, and it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary the mother of James and other women that were there with him, which told these things unto the apostles. And their words seemed to be as idle tales, and they believed them not. Then arose Peter and ran unto the sepulchre, and stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves, and departed, wondering in himself at that which was come to pass. So we know that when they heard it, they didn't believe what was told. Because here they come back and said, Jesus said, I'll raise from the dead, and he's risen from the dead because the angels are here and they told us. And they didn't believe it. And Peter and John run back to the sepulchre to find out if it was really true. Because they'd already heard the testimony that he was there. He was gone. He was risen. It's empty. But they had to go see for themselves. And they run back to see it. Now, because they didn't believe what was said, and it says, and behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 60 furlongs, and they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. It says, but their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that ye should have one to another as ye walk and are sad? And one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, what things? And they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which would have redeemed Israel. And besides all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. So it was pretty amazing that, you know, of all the things that they had been through and saw, and then the women went to the sepulchre and came back and told them that he had risen, that it was empty. And then Cleopas and his friend, they tell Jesus that there were others with us that went to the sepulchre and found it and came back. So not only did we have the first group of witnesses, but we've had the second group of witnesses that tell us the same thing, that he was risen from the dead, and they came back and he's gone and it's found it just the way they said. And yet, here these are deciding to walk away. And Jesus says, why are you sad? He said, here you are, you've heard everything that I've said, but Jesus told you all the way through, and you've seen these things, and now you're sad and you're walking away. And they're in this kind of condition. And then Jesus speaks to them and tells them in verse 25, and he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village, wherewith they went, and he made as though he would have gone further, but they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it, and brake and gave to them, and their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the Scriptures? You know, it's so amazing that, you know, many times we wonder about people want to see God do miracles. You know, there's people that talk about, you know, oh, I wish we could see the book of Acts take place, or, you know, all these great things. And you know what? You're a miracle in yourself. Because, you know, many people, they don't see that you are a walking miracle. And, you know, here these men are, of all the things that they had seen and all that they had heard, and yet they walk away, and here's Jesus speaking to them. You know, it takes them back to the Scripture and shows them all the things that they had seen and all that they had heard. And yet they couldn't believe what took place. And then here Jesus began to expound. And then when, you know, he pretended that he would go on, and they wanted him to stay with them. And so, you know, he stayed, and he broke the bread, and they realized who that was. And, you know, it's the same way with you and I. There's many times in our lives that, you know, we want to see certain things. And, you know, it's like, oh, how great everything was in the Bible days and the book of Acts and everything. But you know what? You and I are miracles. And you know, you and I, we work miracles. God works through us. And many times we don't realize what God has used us to do. Because there's times in my life, and I know everybody probably has had the same thing, is, you know, there's been a question or there's been a situation that's come up in your life, and you have spoke. Because there's been times when people have asked me questions or certain things come up, and, you know, I'm amazed at what things that come out of my mouth. Because, you know, I have to stop and think, boy, that was good. And you know what? That was God speaking. And we don't realize, you know, God can speak through you. And people say, well, I wish God would speak through us. Well, you know what? Sometimes we overlook the things when God actually uses us to do things, because we don't actually put the thought into it to realize, you know, that was God speaking through us. God is using you. Because, you know, if somebody is out or somebody is sick, you know, just like when Brother Collie and the different ones that have been out. You know what? It's a, when you come to church and people are not here, you know what? It if it doesn't, there's something wrong with you. But you know what? It bears on your heart. And you know what? It was so glad to see when Brother Collie made it back. And there's so many other ones that, you know, that are battling things. And you know what? If you know, because it's us as a body, we have to be the ones to hold them up in prayer. But you know, it's that we can, God can use us. And God uses us when you have children. And you know, there's many times that when you're raising children, you know, we don't always go about it the correct way. Or at least I don't. Because, you know, sometimes, I don't know how y'all are, but lots of times I feel like I just want to... I know y'all feel like, okay, wait. The Bible says, lay hands suddenly on no man. I'm just like... But, you know, there's sometimes, you know, you honestly, you wish that there was a way that you could beat sense into it. And, you know, and I honestly think in my lifetime, I think my dad thought that he could. And I think he tried in certain times in our lives, tried to beat sense into us. I don't know if it really worked or not, but But you know, you're what's so amazing is when you look back and you think, well, you try to do the best that you can, but you know what? You're human and you fail. And you know, we don't always handle every situation correct. But you know what's so amazing is when your kids, when they look at you and they say things about you to other people, and they tell, and when people come back and tell you what your kids said about you, it's so amazing because you know what? We look at ourselves and as failures in times, but you know what? Our kids don't see that. And you know, sometimes we look at ourselves as failures, but you know what? Our God doesn't see us that way. Our Heavenly Father doesn't see us that way. Because you know, He sees the bigger picture. And many times we think, well, you know, I don't do this and I can't do this and I can't do that. You know what? It's what you do in being faithful to what little part God gives you to do. That's the main thing. Are you faithful in what God's given you to do? No matter how big or little it is, are we faithful in that? You know, because it's, you know, not everybody's called to do the same thing. We all can't do the same thing. And I, you know, honestly, there's a lot of things I wouldn't want to do. I have the highest honor for pastors, but honestly, that's just not my calling. And I thank the Lord that that's not my calling. But you know what? That's a high honor for somebody to be a pastor. And I think we got one of the greatest pastors ever walked shoe leather. But you know, the thing is that's a position that God, because you have to be, God makes a man for that position. And you know, you come to that place where you can be in that place. And you know, it doesn't matter, you know, we always want to be the high positions. But you know, the thing is you know, if we are prayer warriors to pray, the Bible says, you know, to pray without ceasing. You know, it doesn't take, I know some people can pray long times and everything like that. And not really the type of person to do that. But you know, the thing is to have communion with God. Mm-hmm. You know, my prayer time's in the truck. I get in the truck and there's nothing but me and you know, I'm listening to either Brother Branham or some, you know, somebody, or listening to music or something. And you know, and that sets an atmosphere that I can commune with God. And yet, you know, there's been times that God has spoke to me, and you know, it's to me it's nice to get out and go and just be by yourself. And you know, you have to set that time and do that. And let God speak to you. But you know, the thing is everybody says, well, I don't have a lot of money, I can't do this. But you know what? You can pray. Mm-hmm. And you know, one time I sat down and I just started listening. Because, you know, people will pray. Say, will you pray for me? And you know, you'll say, yeah, I'll pray for you. And then you forget. And then he's like, well, Lord, who was it that said they wanted prayer? And then you think, well, you know, I just started writing down, even people that didn't even ask for prayer, I just started listing people that I knew that had needs. And you just start listing. And you know, and then it's something that just, you start putting, because you know, these are burdens, and Lord, these people need a touch from you. And you start thinking about, and you keep praying over these things. But you know, it doesn't take a long time. It's just something that you sit down and set a certain time to do that. And you'd be amazed at what God can do through people just by taking that little bit of time to pray for somebody. And you know, to have a word to say to somebody. You know, at work, everybody asks me how I'm doing. And you know, because you find people that they don't have the Lord. And you know, whatever situations they go through in life, you know, some people are just looking for a kind word. Somebody's looking for an encouraging word. And you know, I always try to speak to everybody. And I think it was Dr. Atkins. I think he said hello to everybody, the first 50, 100 people or whatever. You know, I always try to greet everybody. And you know, there's a lot of people that you know, that first they wouldn't even talk to me. There's some people at work they still don't talk to me. But they don't talk to nobody, so I mean, I don't feel bad about that. Unless it's something they actually have to say to somebody, they don't say good morning, hello, you know, get out of my way. They don't say nothing unless they need something. But But, you know, I try to talk to everybody and try to speak to everybody and ask how everybody's doing. And, you know, people want to know how I'm doing. Well, I'm doing great. You know, girls, you know, I always, and I've got people at work that laugh at me because I have a set of things that I say. Like on Mondays, we have, it's like, this is Marvelous Monday, and it's Terrific Tuesday, and it's Wonderful Wednesday, and it's Thrilling Thursday, and Fantastic, Fabulous Fridays. And, you know, and everybody thinks, are you serious? Like, yeah. And, you know, some people, sometimes you blow people's mind when you get up and say, well, you know what, the Lord got me out of bed this morning and I got here. And you know what, there's a lot of people that didn't get out of bed this morning. You know, and you start to look at, and everybody talks about, you know, you have problems, and everybody's got problems. You know, you go to work, you know, like they say, work is a four-letter word. So, you know, everybody has problems and things that go on at work. But you know, the thing is, it's not what the problem is. It's how you handle the problem. How you react to it is the thing that makes it better or worse. Because, you know, there's some people that, you know, honestly, I got people at work I can't stand to be around. I don't want to be around them. I don't want to listen to them. And people ask me, well, why do you have a problem with that? Why? Because they're so negative. I mean, I'd rather have somebody go at me with a wire brush and just rub down my back than have to listen to them. You know, I just want to stick your fingers in the ear and run away from them. Why? Because they're so negative. But you know, the thing is God has blessed us and given us everything that we have need of, everything that pertains to life and godliness. And everything that you have need of has been given to you in this earthly journey. You know, we are so blessed that we get up this morning, but do we walk and just pass by and Jesus is talking to us just like the two on the road to Emmaus? And just completely blind to what's going on? Are we walking just like Jesus speaking to them and telling them what was going to take place, and then they just go on right about their business and not realizing that God has called you and blessed you to a place that, you know, there are certain things in your life that ain't never going to change. But you know what? I'm not worried about that. I always tell that little story about the man that had that great big boulder, and God told him to push the boulder. And he sat out there and he kept pushing the boulder and boulder, you know, and he just kept pushing on it. Well, you know, after years of pushing on it, he realized that, you know what, I ain't never moved that boulder. And he thought, you know, he was a failure. And he kept telling God, he's like, look, I've been pushing on this thing for years. It ain't never moved. And he's like, well, why am I going through this? I'm just a failure. There's nothing accomplished in all this. And the Lord told him, said, listen, said, I never told you to move it. I told you to push it. He said, now look at yourself. He said, look at the muscles that you've built. Look at the changes taking place in you, not moving the boulder. He said, I never told you to move it. He said, I told you to push it. And he said, the more you push, the more the change took place in you. And many times things happen in our lives where we can't change. We're not going to be able to change them. But you know what? The change takes place in us. As the song says, sometimes he calms the storm, sometimes he calms me. And you know what? That's the way it is. Are we mindful to see things the way God has made, that God has blessed us? And can we? I just want to be mindful of that and thank God every day. And to see the supernatural working of God in our lives. You know, can't remember if it was later, Brother Dale was talking about, you know, we were talking about the nine spiritual gifts. And you know, many times people act like, you know, the gifts aren't working. We don't see the gifts. But you know what? If we actually open our eyes and actually read what the Scripture says, then you know what? We realize God is working. We do see the nine spiritual gifts working. It's just not tongues and interpretation. But you know, it's gifts of healing. It's wisdom, knowledge, the working of miracles, the different things that have taken place.
Brother Brown said those two were the least.
That's right, those two were the least. But you know, we see those things working. And you know, sometimes if we open our eyes, Lord, open my eyes to let me see what's going on, what you're doing around us. Because, you know, sometimes it's, I don't know about you, but sometimes when Brother Dale preaches, and, you know, he says, well, I want you to catch this. Well, you know what? I don't catch it. I don't. I mean, sometimes it's like, you know, he'll be preaching on something, and he'll want you to catch something, and I'm like, well, Lord, I'm not catching it. And it takes a while, but you know, I think the Lord allows that to happen sometimes because how are you going to react to it? Because sometimes it's you're digging a little bit more, you're having to pursue this a little more for God to come speak to. So do we have that to look and follow that and do what God has us to do, what God has laid before us? You know, it's like when God told Brother Branham to create the squirrel, and you know, he said to speak the squirrels, he spoke the squirrels into existence, and there were three that he spoke into existence, and you know, Brother Branham was able to shoot them, and he found them, but the fourth one, there was one time that he couldn't find one of them. You know, he spoke it, and then. The brother was praying. It's like, Lord, if Brother Branham's correct, let him find that fourth one. Well, you know, Brother Branham saw that fourth one, and he saw it come into existence, and he shot it. But you know, he had to go out there and start hunting around and try to find that fourth one. It was out there, but you know what? It took a little while for him to get out there, and he had to dig. And you know, he found it was under a piece of bark and everything. And you know, he had to get out there and dig for it. It was out there. But he had to dig for it. And sometimes that's the way it is with us. You know, it's out there, but sometimes we got to dig for it, to look for it. You know, because God wants us to have something to do that we can see it. Because sometimes we get in this little rut. And sometimes things come, He has to get our attention. Amen. Well, God bless you this morning. I hope it was a blessing to you.
Thank you.
Amen.